Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Chris and Nays Reality TV Cast. This is a bonus episode, guys, so thank you so much for tuning in. Dave's not with us. I did a little guest spot on the BBC Radio Berkshire with a presenter called Phil Kennedy. He wanted to learn about the podcast, who we are. I have been going on recently as a reality, air quote, expert, I believe. So this is just a quick interview that was up on earlier today. A few people have asked to listen to it, and it's too big a file to drop on Facebook and things like that. So I thought, I'll tell you what, I'll just put it together as an extra episode. So basically me just talking about the podcast, a little bit about reality TV. Hope you enjoy it, and we'll see you soon when me and Dave are back talking about Casa Amor and all the nonsense that's going to happen with that whole fallout, which I cannot wait for. So, okay, guys, take care, and thanks for listening. Thanks for all your support, as always. Me and Dave love it so much that everyone, you know, loves listening to the podcast, even listening to us two pair of bellends. So thank you so much. And what you will notice is I didn't swear once, which was an absolute chore not to swear. So thank you. Hope you enjoy it, and we'll see you soon.
So here we are, Wednesday afternoon, and Wednesday after three, we love to talk podcasts. And today, do you know, I learned a whole new multiverse yesterday, all WrestleMania and stuff like that. Well, I must admit, this is a multiverse I'm sort of across, but not totally. We are talking reality TV. We're talking Love Island, Big Brother, but I love The Traitors. I thought that was great. Claudia was fab. Anyway, reality TV is part of our culture, big part. It's captured the attention of millions. And our podcast is focused on shows just like that. Chris Phelps is from Chris and Dave's Reality Cast. Chris, hello to you.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for having me on.
What is it about you and reality TV?
I think what it is that I just take myself away from it. My wife loves, like, proper... I love documentaries. She loves the dramas and things and the soaps and that, and I don't. And it sounds so silly because I think these days the reality TV's got more scripting than Coronation Street. But I just love the ridiculousness of, like, how people are so competitive, how human nature is, how we all act. And I end up questioning myself. But yeah, I just find it utterly ridiculous, but totally compelling, Phil. And I can't explain why.
I'm also interested in your, what is reality TV? In some ways, you could do you sort of go for something like The Apprentice? Because again, it's like being locked in a room, but actually you're just being locked in business by Sattel and Sugar.
Yeah, well, I used to love The Apprentice, I really did. But I think as I've watched it over the years, it was one of them shows that I just grew tired of. And then all this, like, the stuff that we watch, like Love Island, all this stuff on Netflix and Prime, things like that. There's just so many shows. And you mentioned The Trey. I thought The Trey was a great show. That was a completely fresh take on reality TV. And I just think when it's not scripted and it's organic, you see real people acting like how they should. And you see people who are faking it, and then the mask drops, and then they're trying to not ruin, like, if there's a prize at the end of it. Yeah, there's something fascinating about it, Bill. It's really strange genre that has taken over the world since Big Brother, really, in the UK, like the late 1999, 1998, 1999, 2000. It just captivated the whole of the UK. And I've stuck with it ever since. Well, unfortunately for some people, would say, but I just love it.
Well, your wife. The thing is that it's interesting. You mentioned Big Brother, and this is where I worry about something like Traitors, because I just thought The Traitors was fab. But Love Island's certainly feeling a little bit of a, as it were, a dip in popularity. Can you sort of over reality a series? Because there's a point where actually it's almost... it's like I've been in this movie before. There's nothing new. I mean, there are. You know, I must admit, I'm not a big fan of Love Island, but even last year, I was well and truly across Davide and Ekin Sue. You need people like that, don't you? It needs to have a good cast, as it were.
It does, and you're right, because I think the win to Love Island's just too much. They've done that for a couple of years. They had a break, obviously, with COVID, and they introduced it just before COVID. But it's too much with that, Phil, I must admit. And myself and Dave, we covered, like, the UK one last year, the Australian one, the winter UK one, and then we've gone straight into this new season, the summer UK one. And we were like, we've had enough of this now. It's the same games across different countries, different things. However, this series has been a lot better. The winter one was a step too far, and it felt like they'd not got the cast right, whereas with this season, I've actually enjoyed it more than I thought, because at the start of it, we were just like, oh no, here we go again. But yeah, I do think there is franchise fatigue with it though. I think at some point they're going to either have to change it or rest it for a while. But at the moment, it does captivate people until usually the last couple of weeks where it falls off a bit and there's not a lot of drama. But I think that's why everyone watches it. They just get engrossed in all this romance and the deceptiveness of people.
Yes, and that's where I worry about The Traitors, because it's such a cracking idea, but I just worry about that fatigue at the end. You almost say, OK, it'd be great to have The Traitors, but every 18 months, perhaps even 2 years, you know, leaving a nice gap, so that actually there's a genuine joy and anticipation in it.
Yeah, and I agree with that, because that was such a fresh concept and I didn't watch it straight away. And then it was like friends were saying, you've got to watch it. And we were covering different shows. And when we watched it, me and Dave, we were like, wow, this is great. It was so good to see people just lying to people's faces, playing the game. People were thrown off the show. They shouldn't have been. But that also, for you touched on a point that we talk about a lot on the show, is the first series of a lot of these things are usually excellent. And then when other people have watched it and they work out the scripts, and you do find that a lot of people try and play games with it, and it sort of loses some of the mystique of the show. I do hope with The Traitors it carries on, because I thought that was a really, really good show.
Yes, I mean, that was a common refrain from all those that took part in the show, wasn't it? That is, we had no idea. We had no idea what to expect. And this time, anybody going in the second series has an idea.
Yeah, you're so right, because, and I don't want to spoil it for anyone, if you've not watched that, I would recommend anybody watching it. But there was sort of evictions within the first episode, and you were like, how has this happened? We've literally not met these people. And there was some twists and turns along the way that sort of justified what's happened. And within the context of the show, I thought it was great. And I did think Claudia, I wasn't sure how she would come across, because my wife loves Strictly and I do end up watching that a lot with her. And I thought she was great. I thought she played it really well.
She really did, didn't she? Yes, it's sort of a remarkable fashion as well. They really worked on her wardrobe, didn't they? They really did, especially the jumpers. Now, the podcast, tell us about that. So, I mean, it does seem natural, but of course, actually, there is a big audience out there for reality TV.
Yeah, so me and Dave, we were in a band together a long time ago, and luckily I was the failed singer, so I can't really go out of key when I'm podcasting these days, so it would be a better thing. But we just decided, Dave hates reality TV, and it was like, I kept saying to him, we need to do reality TV. We do a couple of podcasts, like movie stuff and that. I know it's quite cliche, we enjoy that sort of thing, but it was like, why don't we do something different? I love reality TV. I was for ages trying to get him to watch stuff like Cheshire Housewives and that, and he's like, no, I am not watching it. And then one day, he put Love Island on and he just messaged me and went, why don't we do a podcast? And it was supposed to be, he's the cynic, I'm the absolute super fan. And I think now we're like 5 or 6 years in, he absolutely loves it. He says he's not, and he dreads it when it comes up. But because we're two middle-aged men with like kids who are literally the same age as a lot of the kids, my daughter is the same age as a lot of the contestants, it's so bizarre. And I think that's what the hook is. And there's a massive thing for reality TV. We see a massive uptake in listeners when we're doing Love Island. It's so bizarre what happens. It's great.
Yes, because, you know, I've lost sort of count of how many, you know, the Real Housewives of Rutland or whatever it is, you know, those sort of programs. Yeah. I mean, again, it almost feels like it's not reality TV. It's sort of fake reality TV. It's just sort of actors sometimes, because they all sort of play a part, don't they? I understand that. But at the same time, it's not really real. Or is it reality?
It's not real. I mean, you look at shows like Towered. So what happens is, I believe that they tell the production about what's happened, and then they try and reenact it. Sometimes it comes across well, but most of the times we'll play things like Towie and Housewives, I'm watching the background people, because they're just not reacting when two people are absolutely going at it. And if in normal circumstances, everybody would be looking over the shoulders or trying to glance at what's going on. So yeah, a lot of it is scripted on them shows, but I do enjoy it. I like a lot of the characters. We watch a lot of the American Housewives stuff, which is... It is. What we find is when we watch like 20 episodes, which is a massive commitment, it's the reunions when it all kicks off. That's when it's justified all them hours to watch everything just sort of blow up at the end. It's so silly, I know.
The best thing is, though, here we are talking about it. So, and I know nothing about it. So it's great, Chris. I tell you what, we'll talk more about your podcast and reality TV. We'll have some more music and... BBC Radio Berkshire, Dermot Kennedy, don't forget me. Right, it's coming up to 3:21, and my guest today, when we talk podcasts, is Chris Phelps, who is from Chris and Dave's Reality Cast, talking reality TV. All right, Chris. So when it comes to your, as it were, area you cover, TV programmes that you consider reality TV, you've already alluded to some of the obvious ones, but what are the less obvious ones that you definitely say, no, that is definitely reality TV?
But we sort of went down a rabbit hole, Phil, of covering a lot of these Love Island ones, at least Love Island ones, these Netflix ones, too many Love Island episodes, sorry, where they're like a segmented one where it's 12 episodes and they sort of, sometimes they drop the whole show there or the ones on Prime and we'll go through them. But the good thing is the listeners go with us and sometimes they won't even watch the next episode until they've gone with the podcast. We'll do stuff like Love is Blind. We've done a very odd one that was on ITV called Singletown, which was a one-off. That got received very well. Bachelor, Bachelorette. It's just different ones we've done, and we've tried different shows as well, but we always end up coming back to Love Island, unfortunately. So anything reality TV, I'm always pitching it to Dave to see what he thinks.
On the subject of reality TV, I'm watching a... my wife and I, it was actually our eldest daughter who suggested it to us. We're watching it on Freevee, which is called Jury Duty, which is the most remarkable programme. It's very, very funny, but have you seen it?
No, I haven't. However, I've been told about this a few times.
Yeah.
Me and my wife are going to be watching it soon.
Yeah, dude, honestly, there are moments in it which are just the funniest things I've seen on TV. And it is a little bit of a twist on a reality TV programme. If you've been told about it, you'll know what the twist is. But because they explain it all right from the very start. But it is a twist and a half, may I say. Watch out for Jury Duty. But nevertheless, OK, so... we mentioned the big one, Love Island. It's on right now. I think there's a character called Lochan in it, from Windsor. A new entrant to Casa Amor. That's, again, a bit of a multiverse. Casa. All right, is it Casa Amor? Okay, all right. I've got a Love Island fan in my ear. So, you know, as I say, it is a multiverse. I have nothing what to do with, apart from I know Ekin Su lived there once with Davide. But what's going on there? What's happening? Is Lochan surviving? Is everybody surviving? Is it actually entertaining and bringing a big audience?
It is at the moment. So what's happened is Casa Amor is where they basically tempt these supposed cemented couples. Now, there hasn't been proper committed couples. I think there's one couple called Ty and Ella who have, as I'm air quoting now, they are boxed off, they're together. All the others are sort of like looking over the shoulder. So they basically entice the girls with six guys and the guys with six girls, and they split them up. One of the ex-contestants, Molly's come in because she was with a lad called Zach, and he split up with her because they basically just kicked her off as a surprise eviction. But then social media was swirling that she's not finished there. She's going back in. She's back in. So what happens tonight is all the contestants get back together and we'll see where like people have cheated on their supposed partners from the original couplings, original 12. And that's where the drama comes. So Casa Amor is one of the biggest episodes that they watch, and it spikes everything because everyone is just waiting to see. They basically come through like a door, and if they come in with a new partner, their split up potential of their original partners being evicted. And honestly, the drama and fallout is great because everybody is double standards. You know, people are offended, but they're doing it. It's honestly, it's so ridiculous, Phil, and it's so hard to explain. It sounds so silly the way I've explained that, but it is. It's just like, oh, this is it. It's like a blind date situation. You cannot wait for the end of the show.
Yes, yeah, so I must admit, the one thing about any of these reality shows, especially when you've got something like Love Island or, you know, Big Brother, where you're sort of locked in an environment, actually, I imagine it must be really difficult. But it becomes your reality, and suddenly the game you're playing actually is your life. You saw that in Traitors a bit as well, didn't you?
Yeah, and I think as well, unfortunately, a lot of the ex-contestants, usually they don't speak about what happens, like what we don't see. You know, there's loads of things go on, but a lot of the contestants have done a lot of social media, like YouTube videos, where they talk about what actually happens that we don't see. So it spoils some of the mystique of Love Island. And it sort of plays up to the fact that, because the producers' hands are all over it, you can clearly see when two people have just randomly started talking or they're told to go and sit somewhere and all that. You can see that. And I think that's what Love Island has lost a little bit of. But yeah, it doesn't matter how much I know some of it's scripted. I cannot wait for tonight, I'll be honest with you, Phil. It's going to be so silly and ridiculous, but I'm ready for it.
Just finally, when it comes to the podcast, is there a sort of golden episode of a classic reality TV that you want to go and watch? You know, go back a sort of golden moment, you know, whatever it may be, from an old Big Brother, an old Love Island, that you could always sit down and watch. It is your number one view. And there's so many reasons that you could list off to say that is why it is pure reality TV that I love.
I think the OG one, Phil, has got to be Nasty Nick and on the original Big Brother writing notes and had a game plan. And when you watch it now, and I watched it last year, they did a bit of a rerun. It's not even that bad. We've seen worse. But at the time, it was national news. That guy ended up playing like pantomime villains, Nick, and everything. It was just everywhere. The papers, I think it was talked about in Parliament. It was just one of them things. Like, I think it's around about 2000. It was sensational TV. But when you watch it now, it's not a lot, but at the time it was just unbelievable that they confronted him. Craig Phillips, the guy, he did a lot of the builder, he did a lot of work off the back of it. It's just great TV. So for me, I would love to watch that all unravel again for the first time. I can watch it now. It's so ridiculous.
Now, there is an addendum to my final question, which is my producer has just said, can you recommend a show to me as a reality TV newbie that I perhaps might like?
I actually quite... well, one that won't drive you crazy, as in people are competing for dates, is The Circle on Netflix. And it was actually filmed. It's filmed in Salford as well. Even the US version of The Circle, they actually use the Salford production place. It's a block of flats. It's actually close to where I live. And that's actually a good one, The Circle, because people are basically catfishing. So there'll be 10 contestants. A guy will pretend to be a lady would tend to be a guy, or you'll have two people playing one character, and they're basically chatting and forming alliances. And the first couple of series of that is really, really good TV. They're a bit more aware as it's gone on, but honestly, it was on Channel 4 originally, but that there's a lot of series on Netflix. I'd recommend that, Phil, because it's not like dating wise, it's just purely who can win and who can play the game to sort of win the prize.
Oh, a game of strategy almost. All right, well, I'll give it a go then. On your recommendation, in the meantime, the podcast in all the usual places. What do you look for again? The full title?
Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast.
Perfect. You have a good one. Take care. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. Hope we do it again sometime. Thank you very much indeed.
Bye-bye now. Thanks a lot,
Bye. Joy.